much. It's great to be here. First of all, let me apologize for dressing up. You know, I'm used to ESPN, you're always on TV. I'm used to wearing a tie and a suit, but it's good to see that it's an informal atmosphere here. Secondly, let me thank Jeremy Treat for inviting me out here to speak. I think this is a great conference. You know, Christianity is about how you live your life in the real world. And talking about sports, you can't get any more real than sports. So I think this is a great panel. I want to thank Reality Church. I follow your church a little bit from afar. I live in New Jersey. And I know all you don't go there, but it's a good church. If you're looking for a church, comes with my recommendation for whatever that's worth. And I want to thank all of you for coming out to see me speak and also here for this panel. It's great to see a good turnout. When I told people back in New Jersey, my family and friends, that I'm speaking at UCLA, and I told them I'm actually going to be speaking at the Pauley Pavilion. And they, you know, they're thinking, wow, you know, you're on mid-court, just the lights beaming on you, it's dark everywhere, 13,000 people just roaring. So that's what they think in New Jersey. So don't tweet out a picture of this. You know, just let them think that I'm holding court in Pauley Pavilion in mid-court. So, but Jeremy asked me to come speak about what the meaning of sports is in our society, in American culture. And so I like to start off by talking about what sports meant for me in my life. I mean, obviously, sports has been a huge part of my life. You know, I've worked in sports writing since I graduated from college in 1990, and it's enabled me to make a great living, travel around the world. I've been to Africa, Kuwait, London, Rome, Spain, all parts of Canada, just covering the game of basketball. So sports has been great for me. But when I was a kid, sports was like my life. I mean, everything was about sports with me. I remember my aunt who went on to become a lawyer and a judge even. When I was about 7 years old, she asked me, she said, Chris, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I said, well, I want to be a football player. And she's like, if you don't become a football player, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I said, I want to be a basketball player. She said, if you don't make it to the NFL or the NBA, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I said, I want to be a baseball player. So sports was everything. When in school, whenever I could pick a book, you know, a book to write a book report about or just read, you know, if they didn't assign you a book, you could choose your own. It was always something about sports. The only exception was Encyclopedia Brown. I loved Encyclopedia. Y'all young. You might not remember Encyclopedia Brown, but great little books. But everything was about sports. I played football, basketball, baseball in high school, and I played basketball in college. And so sports has meant a ton for me. But when I became a Christian, which was my senior year in college, I actually would learn how to enjoy sports even more. Because up to that point, sports had been so big to me. I don't want to say it was my God, but it was so big to me that sometimes I put too much pressure on myself on the court. You know, I was almost psyched out at times because it was so big in my mind and I had to do so well that I would sometimes not play as well as I could. I think too much. I know as athletes, you know what I'm talking about. But when I became a Christian, it put sports in its proper perspective. And I used to always say to myself, I'd be on the court and say to myself, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. So I felt like, you know what, I prepare myself the best I can and then just put it in the Lord's hands. You know, and I still do that on television. You know, at times I'll be on TV and, you know, so I don't get nervous and think, oh, there's millions of people watching. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, lean not on your own understanding. Don't think too much. So that enabled me to go out and play better and you know, be in a better mental place on the court. And even as a fan, I was no longer living and dying with my team or with one individual who I loved as a player. You know, I was able to just enjoy sports for what it is, you know, an extracurricular activity. And so that really helped me. That's a biblical principle there. You know, in John chapter 12, verse 24, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it stays alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit." Now, we know he was talking about his death and resurrection and what it brought for us, the fruit it bears in our life by him dying on the cross for us. But also, that's a principle. When you die to something, you know, you still like it, you still enjoy it, it's still important, but it's not a god to you. It's not an idol to you. It's in its proper place. And I died to sports when I became a Christian, and I was able to enjoy it more and bear more fruit in that. So that's really was my experience with sports. But in American culture, most people have not died to sports. You know, most of us are very much obsessed with sports, and it becomes all consuming. And I know Jeremy will talk a little bit later about this, but sports has become an idol in our culture. It's idolatry, especially for a lot of men and boys. It's a new religion, you know, for many of them. And because of that, you know, when anything but God becomes a god or an idol, it can lead to corruption. So you see a lot of corruption in our sports now, you know, performance-enhancing drugs, rampant cheating, and so much of that stuff that goes on. That's the fruit of having sports as an idol. And it also leads to other things. It can lead to men neglecting their wives, you know, because you're always watching sports. It can lead to men neglecting their children because, again, you're always watching sports. You know, it can lead to us not going to church or not studying the Bible as much as we need to because we have to watch every game that's on television stuff. It can even lead to neglecting education. So when you put sports or anything else and make it a god and an idol, it can lead you to neglect other important and critical areas of your life. I'm African-American. I don't know if you all knew that. I'm a little melanin challenged, but I'm still black. But somebody asked me that earlier. Where is he? From London. They don't see black people like this in London, he said. But one thing that saddens me in our community, African-American communities, it's an overemphasis on sports. And it's understandable because in slavery, that was one of the areas that was emphasized to African-Americans was physical labor. And they would put the slaves and make them box and wrestle, sometimes to the death, for the entertainment of whites. And same thing with music. So we're excelling in these two things that were put on us in slavery and still in our mindset. And so, and also that's one way we have gotten mainstream acceptance is through sports. I'll talk about that a little later. But years ago, decades ago, you didn't see many blacks getting accepted in the mainstream society except for the athletes. So we've put an overemphasis on that. And we've neglected, many of us, neglected education because we've overemphasized sports. But it's not just African-Americans. The studies show that girls are far outperforming boys in academics across all races, from kindergarten all the way up. Girls outperform boys and women outperform men. And a lot of people have wondered why this happens, what goes on. The studies show that women aren't any more intelligent than men, but they still are outperforming men and boys. And some think we need all male classrooms. Some think, you know, if you have more male teachers. But in a book called The Rise of Women, The Growing Gender Gap in Education and What It Means for American Schools, The authors came to this conclusion. It's two sociologists, one from Columbia, one from Ohio State. They said it boils down to this. Girls are working harder at academics than boys. As simple as that. Girls are putting more effort into doing well in school than boys are. And I think there are several factors in this, but I think a huge factor is sports. There's no female equivalent to sports in American society. Now, obviously, women can play sports and girls play sports, but you won't become, in most cases, a multimillionaire by playing sports as a woman. You won't become a cultural icon, in most cases, by being a great athlete as a woman. There's no LeBron James or Michael Jordan or Muhammad Ali. You know, now, the one sport women may make a ton of money and maybe become icons is Serena Williams or, you know, tennis. They go to tennis academies. And sports is overemphasized more so than academics and education. So I don't think there's, you know, there's no equivalent. And boys focus so much on sports because, again, you can become this great icon, global icon. You can become a multimillionaire. I mean, and even for those that don't play sports, you know, or don't play it that well, you know, ESPN, 24-hour sports talk radio, you know, all the talk shows on television. If I was growing up today, sports would be a humongous distraction to me. I don't know that I would have been the student I was. Probably I would have because my father was there and I didn't have a choice. I mean, I thank him for it, but I had to do well. You know, but I used to get excited about the little 5 minutes on the news that they would talk about sports and show highlights. And then when George Michael's Sports Machine came around, 30 minutes of highlights? Wow. That was great. But if there was an ESPN back then, it would have been a huge distraction. Again, I had my father there to keep my priorities straight. But we know today in America, more than 40% of the kids don't have a father in the home. And that's not even including divorce. That's just those that are born without a father in the home. So if there's no father there, and I know women can do it too, but a lot of times as a boy, it takes that man he got a little more muscle, you know, with the kid. And so he can force him, a boy, to study and keep his priorities straight. But if that person is not there, then sports can be a huge distraction and keep you from focusing on your books, your grades, and some of the other things that you need to focus on. So with sports being so important to men and having so many men obsessed with it, I believe personally that God wants to get into sports and reach us through sports. And I would argue, I say the most miraculous stories in sports over the past few years have all involved outspoken Christians. Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow won 7 games with the Denver Broncos and a playoff game, despite not being able to throw. I mean, you talk about God speaking through a donkey, that's pretty much the equivalent. And I love Tim Tebow, but I'm just saying, that was like pretty miraculous. Jeremy Lin. In New York, Jeremy Lin, for 2 months or a month and a half, whatever it was, he was playing like he was one of the best players in the world. And he's an outspoken, he's a Christian. You know, Ray Lewis, 2012, the Ravens win the Super Bowl, the 2012 season, 2 years ago. He comes back early from a triceps injury that nobody thought he could return from. He was 37 years old. And the team had lost 4 of their last 5 games in the regular season. And he leads them to the Super Bowl championship victory. And he's quoting scripture all the way through. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. I mean, he was using it a little bit out of context. But I wasn't mad at him, though. I was still, he's quoting scripture. He was all over the place, right? The Ravens, more than conquerors and all that stuff. But still, as a witness, Russell Wilson, second-year quarterback, just led the Seattle Seahawks to the Super Bowl. Outspoken Christian. And no, that means something. It means so much. When I was, I became a Christian my senior year in college. And when I was in college and I was convicted of my sin and knew I needed to be a Christian, but I didn't want to, you know. But when I read about Charlie Ward, Heisman Trophy winner for Florida State, when I read about him being a Christian, a devout Christian in Sports Illustrated, that impacted me. When I read about Evander Holyfield, you know, being a Christian and quoting scripture, that impacted me. I said, man, these are men that I can look up to, that I do look up to because they're such great athletes. And to see that they love the Lord, that really made an impact on me. So I believe that is important, and that's one thing God wants to do. Those who are in the spotlight, who love the Lord, you can have a tremendous impact on people. So don't ever shy away from it. In fact, the game of basketball, Dr. James Naismith, who invented it, some of you may know this, but he was an ordained minister working at the YMCA. He actually invented the game of basketball, according to his grandson, who's also named James Naismith. His grandson put it this way. He said, my grandfather invented the game of basketball to lead young men to Christ. That's why he invented it. And a lot of times when they first started it, at halftime, people would minister or witness or share testimonies. And so sports and Christianity can go together. Dr. Naismith wanted people to learn values of the gospel through the game of basketball. And when you look at basketball, you can learn a lot that can help you in your walk with Christ just from the game. Teamwork, sharing, that's a biblical principle. Sharing the basketball, you know, or respect for authority, your coach, the officials, you know, that's a biblical principle as well. Perseverance, working through a tough situation when you really don't feel like it, like running another suicide. When you really don't feel like doing this or that, you have the perseverance to go out and do it. Same thing with the gospel. It's not about your feelings. You know, when we follow the Lord, it's not just because you feel like it. Sometimes you're not going to feel like it, but you still have to persevere through it. So Dr. Naismith meant for basketball to improve society and to teach us some life lessons. Now, all sports have done that, too. In America, you know, sports, with all due respect to Dr. Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks and all the people that fought for civil rights and equality in this country, you could argue that sports or African-Americans' dominance in sports has done more for race relations than anything else in this country. Because the fact that African-Americans are so dominant, that endeared black people to mainstream society because they were such great athletes. And when you're growing up and your favorite player is black or your hero is black, it's harder to think of them as inferior. It's hard to think of black people as subhuman or they don't deserve these rights or those rights. And so sports has done a tremendous service to America by teaching it about equality, about racial equality. And the reason I say it's done so much for race relations with blacks and whites is because blacks have been dominant and whites have liked us because of that. But I don't know if it's translated enough because, take for instance, Native Americans. I mean, if Native Americans obviously haven't been as dominant in sports. and even in popular culture, music and stuff like that. So we still have the Washington Redskins, which people will tell you is the equivalent of saying the N-word. But because they haven't endeared themselves to mainstream society, because they haven't dominated sports, people don't even see that. And to me, it's simple. If you wouldn't have the N-word as a name, then why would you have its equivalent for another group? So we need to take these lessons and apply them to everything, you know, not just to blacks in this case. And I think that's one reason there's this big, huge push, and it's actually pretty much happened now, but to push homosexual athletes to come out of the closet, you know, because there's an understanding that through sports, you can endear yourself to society. You know, really the two things that impact culture the most in America are Hollywood and sports. A few other things quickly that we can learn from sports, and it kind of ties in. Sports, what makes sports great are the rules and the standards. Like football, you need rules in football. You have sidelines. You have a certain number of downs. You know, if we start taking away the standards and now, okay, no, we don't want sidelines. You know, who needs sidelines? And now you can run all up in the stands and, you know, you got to tap, you know, or let's play with three footballs instead of one. We want freedom. We want to do what we want to do. Then now you've taken a good game and now it becomes chaos. It's the same in society, same in anything. Academics, a family, government, you need standards. Once you start erasing all the standards, then you it's going to become chaotic. And that goes for society as well. So we have to try to uphold standards. And then secondly, sports teaches us that we are built to praise. We're built to praise. Because when we go to, you go to Pauley Pavilion and you praise the Bruins. We praise LeBron James. We praise Magic Johnson. We praise Paul Westphal back in the day. He was good. I'm young, but he was real good. We praise that and we feel better. You feel good. You're going to enjoy a game more if you just sit there or if you getting into it. Yeah, you feel good. But imagine how much better you'll feel spiritually when you praise God. We have to praise God. And that's when you get a lot of spiritual breakthroughs. Sports shows us we are built to praise. So let's use that praise most importantly for God. Thank you.